Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
And Carson.
And Carson Wood. Apparently he dropped his last name for this episode.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to make him go back and listen to the other ones to figure it out.
Justin. Keeping them on their toes. Keeping them on their toes. Because they had no reason to go back and listen to any of the other ones.
My last name's all that was saved from the last episode. They're lost in the annals of the whatever.
The annals? The archives or the annals?
The annals of history of this podcast. That's the only time I ever know how to use annals is if you say annals of history. I don't know.
It just sounds like annals used incorrectly.
I don't know. That's the joke that people say anytime they hear it.
The annals of history. We had a exciting fight this weekend.
Me and you?
Yep. You and I, we threw down, you know. Luckily enough, I didn't end up with a big gash on my head like Riley when you guys threw
down.
Was
it abrasion?
It was a class 2 abrasion, just like a class 2 sunburn?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That was right after we got hired at Select Health and we were training and he looked like an idiot.
I still have that photo, so maybe what I can
do. You sent it to me a couple times.
Is make it the thumbnail for this podcast.
Do it.
I just have to find it and then figure out how to do it.
Story is, we were watching fights. Both my brothers were drunk, so I wrestled both of them.
You wrestled Austin, too?
Yeah, he hit.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So this was when they lived in an apartment.
Well, let's give a background first, because Austin's like, what, almost 300 pounds? Like,
no, he was over 300 pounds. Yeah. So he did a head toss.
Played arena football.
No.
Played college football. Did he play arena for a little? Oh, no, he was going to. He got recruited, and then he didn't.
I don't think for arena, though. Maybe it was. I can't, but I thought it was just for... whatever. It might have been arena.
Anyway, yeah. just trying to give them a distinction on size here.
So, yeah, I'm like a buck 60, buck 70. He did a head toss, which he always did, and they told him that he couldn't make a career out of it in high school.
And then he did.
And he went all the way to second in state.
In high school.
I think he
owned everybody, man.
He ended up losing to, I think, Angel was the guy's name, the guy that killed his dad and went to Clearfield.
Then it must have been Angel, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was him. But anyways, so...
But anyway, that's not the important part of the story.
Kind of is, for at least one person involved in it.
Yeah.
So he was... He grabbed me my head to do a head toss, and he lived on the basement apartment, was all cement. I did go a little dark for a little bit. Like, it was one of those, like, you hit your head, and, like, all of his weight was on it, and then you, like, come to almost immediately.
Do you remember what card that was?
No. No.
Neither do I. Maybe we can look at the picture, because there's the card going on in the background.
In the background? You can see it?
No, with you and the,
right,
the picture of you and Riley. Yeah, there's Yeah, there's a screen on the back. I don't know who it was. I'm trying to think because it was important enough for us to actually get together at somebody's house in order to watch the card. I think it was Anderson Silva or GSP, but I can't remember which.
I'll find the damn thing right now.
But that was like what? That was almost 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
Before I was married, even.
Before Harper was born. You sent it to me not too long ago.
When I was still trying to hook up with your sister-in-law-ish, which never came to fruition.
You can still do that now if you also get divorced.
Oh, is she divorced?
On her way.
Oh, that's sad.
It is.
and I will not.
Well, I'm just saying.
Sean, our one listener that's family. I don't plan on that anytime.
Does Speaking Chelsea, wish, though?
While you're looking at that, I don't know. Do you know something?
No.
The whole world is crumbling around me.
It's because you're not getting swifty.
I'm not taking shits on the floor. While you're looking that up, I was going to bring something up. Oh, yeah, Sean not being here. He's watching The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you start dating someone and have to prove how cool you are.
This is why I don't date someone.
Yeah, because you'd be watching The Bachelor right now instead of being
I
on a podcast.
I don't want to watch The Bachelor.
I'd be doing the podcast by myself.
You'd probably do a better job.
When he's, I can guarantee that I wouldn't. I have to speak in absolutes, and everyone knows that that's terrible. Anyone that has their own podcast has to speak in absolutes.
Where the hell did I see this thing?
Come on, guys. You know this, and I know this, and I am the voice of reason, and you have to listen to me. Because if you don't speak in absolutes on your own podcast, then you have no reason to be alone.
Yeah, I couldn't do my own because I say a whole bunch of I don't know and I don't care. Somebody needs to care about this.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have to call you out and be like, I don't care enough to pose the question.
I don't even care enough to pose the question, let alone answer it.
It's the point of a podcast to give your
opinion.
You think
Ron is done? I don't care.
You can't just say I don't care. The whole point of a podcast is to give your opinion. If you don't give your opinion,
the one on Rhonda, that was literally my opinion. I really didn't. I don't. I won't. I refuse to care.
You do. You would date her so hard if you had the chance.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. Yeah. I never said that. Hold on now.
You guys play Pokemon Go every day. Some WoW.
This actually looks like Tony Ferguson.
It might. Does it? You found the picture?
Yeah.
Let's see it.
Look at young Carson.
All right. In the back. It does look like, no, it's what's the Australian dude with the weird chest?
Soteropoulos?
Yes, that's who it is.
Yeah. Australian dude, weird chest, go.
And you guessed it. And you guessed it. You were right on.
So we got to go look at Soteropoulos, what fights he was in about
probably,
6 years
probably ago. Probably Dennis Seaver, honestly.
But, the whole story behind this picture, we'll send it out, but, that was one wrestle with one brother that ended
poorly for you.
For me, yes, it was very bad. And that one actually might have been the second time around, but then my other one, we got to wrestling. Neither of us had wrestled. I thought only one hook in, and I started putting in a rear naked. And he says he wasn't drunk. I say that he was probably drunker than he thinks he was because, like, before I had even sunk it in, he just, like, face dived. It's like when Ron Swanson says that he didn't realize that he hit Jeremy Jam so hard because he looked like he was just diving towards the floor.
Jeremy Jam.
Yeah, but it was the same thing. Like, all of a sudden, he just kind of gave out. And
I think he was trying to toss you over his shoulder and then just landed on his head.
That could have been it, too. He says that's not what happened. I think he said that he got out or he went out. I think he said that he didn't anticipate my weight or something like that. But either way,
165 pounds of you.
I actually probably weighed like 180 then.
Yeah, yeah. You used to
that
be
was
more
before
manly.
I started dating.
I was
getting depressed.
That's when you're more manly.
And so he hit his face on or his forehead, and then on again. This was a basement apartment, so it's just concrete and very almost sandpaper-esque.
Yeah, and it was apartment, I think, is the number one. Like, there's no padding under the carpet. There's no reason to try and, like, give you pleasantries of foot cushion.
Yeah, that's just one other thing you got to clean meth out of. A lot easier just to clean the carpet. To the concrete. And he got this huge abrasion from his forehead all the way down to the tip of his nose and was just bleeding and getting made fun of by everybody for the rest of the night, which was sad for me.
Oh, man, it was so bad. I've got you got to send me that photo, and I'll put it as the actual,
You're the one that sent it to me.
Well, I know, and I still have it somewhere.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
But it's not on this phone. It's on the cloud somewhere. And so what'll happen is they'll make this the thumbnail of the podcast, and everyone can see it. It's actually really sad, but really funny at the same time. And Riley was a really good sport about it, because he was
he was.
He wasn't mad. He wasn't upset that he had this big old abrasion on his forehead. Like, it was what it was. Instead of being like, why in the world? Yeah, man. Everything about it was just bad news bears for Riley.
Yeah.
And he was nothing but a great sport about it. Getting into real MMA, the fights last night.
What do you mean? That was real MMA. Did you see what happened?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, there's Carson.
Come on.
There's
Turn
Carson
that phone down. What's wrong with you?
Called work.
I think it is Dennis Seaver, by the way.
I know.
I don't think you know. I think you were right, but you didn't know you were right. That's what I think.
That's the only fight I can remember Soteropoulos in, other than like tough Australia versus New Zealand or whatever it was. Maybe it was Australia versus the UK, where Australia crushed the UK. But back to last night, what was the most, other than Rodriguez Penn, which we'll get into, what was the most memorable fight for you? You did send me the text on that weird submission, right? The bottom submission.
Yeah, what the hell?
The bear hug.
I mean, I want, like, it's kind of hard to convince somebody to get into that position with you. Be like, I want to try to get out of it.
Just climb on top of me.
No, I want to climb on top of them because I feel like, because I want to be the one getting submitted. I mean, I'm not a practitioner of jiu-jitsu at all, but I feel like.
So he slid. One arm under his elbow, right? Or one arm under his armpit. And then the other one came across the top.
But he's also coming under his throat, too. And I think that's where the actual choke happened. I think he was getting to, like, the Adam's apple area. Because other than
that. So I didn't see it. Like, I saw it, but I saw it, like, I had to watch it on my phone as I was while my wife was driving, because we were heading to my family's house. And I just got it on my phone as it was recapping it. So it didn't show, like, how the entire thing played out. It just basically showed the submission. And from what I know about human anatomy is you have a artery that goes under your arm, right? And then you have one, obviously, the ones on your neck. So you can actually tap somebody or pass somebody out by cutting off the artery underneath their armpit and the one on their neck. And so that's how I assumed that he did it, but he may not have actually done that. So he might have gone under one and then cut off his neck by going under his neck. So he would have gone under an armpit, across the neck, and under the chin.
Please somebody explain it to me. Like that. And I think you might be right on that, but like,
that's the only thing that made sense to me. But the angle didn't show. Obviously, you could see the one under the neck, but you couldn't see what the other arm was doing.
I really feel like you can, the little that I know, it's all you have to do is, I feel like, angle out. If you can get out of a triangle, I feel like if you have position on top mount, you should pretty much be able to get out of that.
But what I imagine this was like is, remember when Shane Carwin tapped to Brock Lesnar? To the and all he said was,
you
like,
mean vice versa?
Shane Carwin tapped Brock Lesnar.
Tapped to him. Okay, I thought you said tapped Brock Lesnar.
No.
Tapped to Brock Lesnar.
And he was like, I didn't expect him to go for the submission. So I wasn't defending against it. And all of a sudden when he went for it, I had to tap because he had me. I kind of imagine it like this, right? Where two heavyweights go to the ground.
Go ahead.
And then one all of a sudden gets him in a submission technique that he wasn't expecting, nor did he think it was going to affect him in any way. And then all of a sudden he was asleep.
This one's more weird than the Shane Carwin one, though, because the Shane Carwin, he was tired, too.
Yeah, I mean,
this
one,
it was like,
and
early
it was a
on.
Normal shift to it. Yeah.
There's no way it could have been the Dennis Seaver, by the way. There's no way it could have been the Seaver.
Are you looking up the years?
Yeah. So this was 27th.
So we're going back to the previous mentioned conversation about the head injury.
It's February 27th, 2011. It's Penn versus Fitch. There's no way we were getting together to watch just that fight. And then it had Bisbing Rivera on it.
When Rivera was
123, it could have been that. That would have been November 20th, 2010, Rampage versus Machida, Matt Hughes versus
Penn. No, Rampage versus Machida was at Aldo's house. You and I watched it at Aldo's.
How do you not remember that? Why do you remember
I
that?
I remember it specifically because Rampage beat Machida in a decision, and it was really weird because Machida had been so dominant before that, and then Rampage won. And it was really odd, and that's when everybody in the house of fighters was talking shit on Joe Rogan because he had played favorites. And Rampage did win by decision, right, over Lyoto Machida. You should have it right there in front of you. You just told me.
No, I'm pulling it up. Give me a second.
Come on, bro.
Split decision.
Yeah, Rampage.
Hmm?
Yeah. So
Maciel Falcao was on this card,
that
too.
That was specifically at Aldo's house in Layton.
That would have been Soteropoulos versus Joe Lozon.
Nope.
Well, it wasn't the Seaver fight.
It was. I'm almost sure it was the Seaver fight because I remember the Soteropoulos Seaver
fight. Why would
fight.
We get together for Penn Fitch, Bisbing Rivera, Soteropoulos Seaver?
Then what was 2012? No, I met my wife in 2013, I believe. Did he fight in 2012?
We've got,
because that was like 6 months before I met my wife.
We've got,
what do we got?
Rafael dos Anjos, 2nd of July, 2011. What are we wearing? Let's put this. Let's,
against who?
Rafael dos Anjos.
Against? He fought himself?
No, that's who Soteropoulos fought.
Really? Who's on the main card? Sorry, that's what I thought RDA might be on the main card. That's why I was confused.
Cruz Faber. That could have been it.
It could have been Cruz Faber. The first one, right? Or the
and
second
then it was
one?
Silva, Lieben, and Ortiz, Bader.
No, it couldn't have been Silva, Lieben, because that was Silva's first fight in the UFC.
Not that Silva, Vanderlei.
Oh, it could have been that one. That's crazy to think. Like, because I met my wife. My wife and I have been dating for 5 years, right? It's 2017. So 2012, we more or less met. So it was most likely 2012. What are you typing in your computer? You got a weird smirk on your face as you're going to
I think it's the stupidest conversation right now, and it's my fault, but it's really bugging the hell out of me. We'll figure it out after.
It's already a separate. It's got to be. I don't, because I remember not caring.
We're dressed
about
in warm clothes for warm weather or cold weather, though. We got hoodies on and stuff.
Oh, no, there was snow on the ground, I remember.
Yeah, there's no way it was in July. Whatever, not a big deal.
Maybe he fought.
You sure that's Soteropolis?
I am 100% positive that's Soteropolis. 100%. Anyway, moving back on, we never got to the fight that you were the most interested in. So we got into the submission. Other than the main event,
Joe Lozon. I'm always excited when he fights. And I mean, there's a lot more talking points on that. Like, how the hell do we know what we're like, how things are being judged, especially now that they've changed the rules. I think we should have perfected the old rules before we started jumping around. The rules need to be changed a little bit, but yeah, I don't know.
So that's two losses in a row for Marcin Held. He comes to the UFC and he loses twice in a row. Even though even Joe Lozon said, hey, man, he won this fight. I don't think the UFC cuts him, but what in the world do you do with him? You bring him over from Bellator because he's supposed to be this huge prospect.
Why not do it versus him versus Joe Lozon again?
You could,
I guess. Joe wants that fight again.
Oh, yeah.
And Marcin Held would want it.
Joe looked great in the first round. I mean, the transitions, what we talked about on the last podcast was the BJJ match that this was going to be in the first round, I think it was. And then after that, it was just Marcin Held he did kind of lay and pray, and I guess they could have judged against him for that, where, you know, Joe Lozon in the last round went for the armbar and different things like that, and Joe Lozon was kind of fighting from the bottom, where Marcin Held didn't seem to be fighting from the top as much, which is the exact reason that we gave Neil Magny the fight, right? Neil Magny was fighting, you know, two cards ago or whatever it was. Neil Magny was fighting from the bottom. And, I was hoping that they gave it to him because he was actually trying to advance from the bottom. And I can't even remember who was fighting now. But I remember being annoyed that the top fighter was trying to lay and pray. Mm-hmm. And Neil Magny, and they gave it to Magny, which was amazing to me because I thought that he did more to try and actually win the fight. And so I can understand it from that same concept. I didn't watch this entire fight. I saw highlights of it. Mm-hmm. But it did look like Marcin Held was taking him down at will and holding him down. And so I in my mind, gave this to Marcin Held.
Well, everybody did, I feel like, except for three people in the world.
Yeah, the freaking judges.
I mean, how dumb do you have to feel if, like, the guy that lost has to come on and say, I lost?
That's a solid point. I mean, it's probably back to the old judging, right, where it's like, I figured the other two judges were going to go against me, and then they did the exact same thing that I did. You know, like the old Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then McGee Saunders was just as controversial, right? I thought McGee won this.
I don't think it's just as controversial. I think there's a little bit more wiggle room there.
Maybe not just as controversial, but I thought McGee had won. Obviously, he shows more damage because of the scarring and stuff on his face. We can significant strikes, he landed more. He landed more total strikes. He landed more takedowns. Like, if you look at this, he won this fight. But Saunders won 29-28. All the way around, unanimous decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little odd to me. You know, Kurt McGee, when he fought in Utah against Dominic Steele, I thought he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the decision, which is, you know, it is what it is. And I don't know if this is just everything coming back around where it's like, well, eventually if you continue to get into decisions, eventually you're going to lose whether or not you should win or not. And so I kind of see this as like almost making good on him and the Dominic Steele fight. And a lot of people, when I went on Twitter and actually read about that, they said that they thought he had won based on the takedowns. And, you know, he landed a good strike against Dominic Steele that put him on his butt for a little bit. But
let's just redo the whole card other than the main event.
There you go. Maybe not. Oh, this one. Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Let's just do it again.
Moraga Pettis also went to decision. If you remember correctly, I said all of these were going to go to decision. I was wrong about Rodriguez Penn, and I should have been more confident, but Penn had never been finished, so I didn't know if he was going to get finished or not. And I knew Pettis was going to go to decision.
That's a good fight.
McGee always goes to decision.
Right.
And Lozon Held, based on the type of fighters they are, I figured it was going to go to decision. So, Moraga Pettis, that was a good fight. It's hard at that weight class to throw knockout punches, but they were going for it, man. So, good for them.
What fight did you like the most? Throw it back at you. Cleopatra.
The most exciting fight to me and the most kind of prevalent were kind of on the early prelims. Jones, Liebarger, and then Azarov. Her winning her UFC debut was great, kind of for the UFC, having another woman that's going to come in and win her debut and be able to hopefully maybe not make her way into the women's division, but at the same time not come in and lose and then go back to Invicta. Speaking of which, remind me to get back into that. I missed all of the FS1 prelims. Moraga Pettis was a fun fight. Pretty technical, a lot of striking, but obviously my favorite was Rodriguez Penn. I felt bad for Penn. I watched this on silent, and I watched it in a kitchen on a really small TV. Penn looked bad the entire fight, but I mean the first round he at least not held his own because he wasn't striking back. He couldn't close the distance. He did get his hands on him once, you know, and that's kind of what we said he was going to have to do. But Rodriguez, it was a striker, a boxer versus a karate guy, right? Kind of like the old Lyoto Machida when he came in and he could keep his distance and throw kicks rather than having to get in and box as well. And Rodriguez was landing his kicks at will. And so it was only a matter of time until one of those kicks came in and dropped him, which is sad. But I feel like this was a bad matchup for a boxing type style. You know, a Henan Barao would have been better, or like a Jeremy Stevens or someone that was going to go in there and strike with him, not throwing a whole bunch of leg kicks and stuff. And so I don't know what Penn does. He probably takes one more fight. You know, he did give it his all. Yair Rodriguez, to me, Yair Rodriguez is the future. And I was on another podcast and I talked about this. Like, I wanted to see Penn come out and have a good showing, but I wanted Yair Rodriguez to ultimately win this fight. And I got one of those because Penn didn't have a very good showing.
I was talking to Danny about this today, because I think he is one of the guys, even more so than Kane at this point. Because I mean, he
way more than Kane. Because they've talked about how
well, not yet.
How Mexicans
Kane's a
haven't
champion.
Really taken Kane was a champion.
I mean, I talk to people on the phone that like Hispanic individuals. Can
you just
a
bring
call.
It up? Hey, while you're buying DirecTV,
well, they'll bring it up.
What do you think about Cain Velasquez?
Well, no, they'll bring it up voluntarily. They'll say that they want to watch the UFC fight card,
gotcha.
And then we'll talk. Who's your favorite fighter? I had one guy call me out because he didn't think I was like, I didn't know what I was talking about. He's like, "Who's your favorite fighter?" It's like, all right, yeah. Frankie Edgar. And so, anyways, and they like him, but
who's your? But you said I actually have a podcast. It's One Speed MMA. You can listen to it at any time.
I actually said MMA. I don't know what MNA is.
I don't know what MNA is either. It's kind of like DNA.
Plus, it's pronounced
sure
MA. We have One Speed MA podcast. But no, what does it take to beat him?
Yair Rodriguez?
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling. I mean, he's almost been beat by several different wrestlers.
His jits is good, though.
Yeah, no, his jits is good. And he had one. I mean, obviously, there's the video of him baiting the wrestler into a takedown and then him submitting him. It takes somebody getting inside. That's it.
Danny brought up the point that BJ did land one clean shot on him. So if you can get somebody that hits a little bit more accurate, your Jeremy Stevens, things like that. My problem with that is
Jeremy Stevens doesn't hit more accurate. He just hits a lot harder.
But I mean, that's it's kind of the same thing.
No, because I don't think Conor McGregor necessarily hits. I mean, obviously, he hits hard.
He hits hard as hell.
But I think his precision hard. Is where he gets his knockouts from, more than his...
I think it's both on that. He puts his body into it. It doesn't look like it because he's not throwing overhand like haymakers. He's putting... Like, look at the Chad Mendes knockout. His whole body is extended into it. It's way more powerful than what Jeremy Stevens throws.
So, Yair Rodriguez hasn't lost since his third fight to Luis Roberto Herrera. In Mexican fighter promotions, they just call it what it is, right? What do? We just represent Mexican
Well, when it's
fighters.
Run by the mafia, you don't care.
Right. In Chihuahua, he actually lost to a KO, right? And obviously, he's come a long way since then. But I think it just takes getting inside, right? Stopping him from being able to throw all that fancy stuff because you're too close. I mean, and obviously, you watch John Jones throwing elbows and stuff from inside. Like, you take away a long punch and they give you an elbow instead. But, I mean, you take away his kicking, right? He's a if he's a karate guy, taekwondo guy, however you want to call it, if you get inside far enough, he's not going to be able to throw those kicks.
But it's so hard to close that distance because he stays so far outside of range. Because he does, like, in a movement, he's inside on you.
Did you watch the Tough finale?
No, I'm actually going to watch.
I watched that, and he actually looked pretty bad in that. I mean, he's come a long way since then. And the guy took him down at will. Just because he threw so many kicks when he fought a better wrestler and they could get a hold of him, he took them down. And so he did win by split decision against Charles Rosa. No, it was Leonardo Morales, right? I think who it was.
Would you like to see him against a Ricardo Lamas or a Chad Mendez then when Mendez gets back?
I would like to see him against a top five opponent, absolutely. A lot of people are saying they want to see him against Choi. I don't think Choi is a new generation BJ Penn, right? He's a boxer. So the hard part about this is you put a boxer against a karate guy, a taekwondo guy in this case, and he's going to have those kicks. He's going to keep a distance, and when they come in with those strikes, he's going to clip them. A wrestler, I mean, and we said the same thing about Conor McGregor. The only thing that will be able to beat Conor McGregor is a wrestler. And the fact is we saw
Conor's different, though. He has a better base, and he is still a boxer. Like,
well, and he doesn't put himself out there as much as he does either, as much as Yair does. And so, no, but I'm just getting back to similar styles, but similar conversations. There's somebody that is moving up the ranks of a class. Everyone's saying, well, what can beat him? And I think it's the same concept as Conor McGregor, only in that form where, like, a wrestler is the only thing that'll beat him.
And I'd agree, just because the problem is that, one, it would take, like, a Jose Aldo leg kick, like, because he's on one foot so much because of the spinning stuff that he does all the time. It would take, like, either really good leg kicks or
a perfectly timed takedown.
Yeah.
Like Cody Garbrandt, right?
Uh-huh.
His dominant cruise takedown where he switched levels and switched directions, it looked like he was backing up. He bounced off his back left foot and then immediately shot back for that takedown. That was one of the fastest transitioning takedowns I think I've ever seen. And I think something like that could easily catch Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot harder, though, said than done.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you don't know if you're... Like that switch kick that he had that knocked out... I can't even remember the guy's name up against the fence.
Yeah, Feely. Andre Feely. Team Alpha Male guy.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. He's a tough amalgam because he does have a pretty decent guard and you don't know what you're going to get hit with. It's rough. Like, it's hard to take him down because you could get clipped on the way in or get submitted on the way down. It's just, but the thing about him is I feel like he is beatable.
Oh yeah.
But he's going to be around for a long time because of what he brings to Latin America and also because he's exciting as hell. He's going to get some highlight reel knockouts. He's going to probably get clipped. He's going to probably get taken down. I'm trying to think who I'd like to see him against most.
A lot of people are saying Choi, who's now ranked against.
I'd also like to see Cub. Him versus Cub would be dope.
Brian Ortega called him out. Brian Ortega, obviously the wrestler submission guy. That's an exciting fight to me, but Ortega might have the tools to beat him at that. And Ortega's technically above him in the rankings. It may switch after this week. It doesn't look like it's been updated. Jeremy Stevens, I think, would be an exciting fight. Anthony Pettis, who's also a taekwondo background, I think would be a super exciting fight.
But they're different weight classes now.
I guess featherweight, yeah, because Anthony Pettis said he was going back.
Could still fight Sergio, right?
Sergio's one. He's bantamweight, isn't he?
I thought he was 145.
He might be. I may be
now
wrong.
That he's filled out a little bit.
I may be wrong. But no, I mean, really, anyone above him in that top 10, Brian Ortega, I kind of would like Brian Ortega and Yair Rodriguez to do the same thing that Khabib and Ferguson have done, right? They have two different styles, two different kind of mentalities of fighting. I would like to see them both continue to fight people above them until they either fight for a number one contender spot or they fight for a belt. Brian Ortega, if you remember correctly, looked really, really bad against Clay Guida, and all he was doing is kind of rope-a-doping him, and then he knocked out Guida at the end. And no one expected it to happen because Clay Guida looked like he was doing a lot better. And, I mean, he was beating him. But Ortega in his last fight looked really good. He beat what's his face, the Brazilian dude that took a gun into a strip club, Brandão, before he got booted from the UFC, and that was supposed to be fight of the year. Like, I think those two in that featherweight division are on their way up. I think they've got about a year and a half before they can beat, say, a Jose Aldo or a Max Holloway. But I think that they could compete against Jeremy Stephens and Charles Oliveira. I mean, and they have to, right? Because they're 9-10, so they're going to have to get a top 10 opponent. So, I mean, there's...
Well, last question on this card. What do you want to see from BJ?
I'd like to see him fight one more. Give him freaking Nick Lentz, right? That's who he's supposed to fight when he first came back. Nick Lentz looks like he's healthy, and I think he's fighting in one of the next cards coming up. Nick Lentz, win or lose, give him BJ Penn, you know? And if he beats him, that's great. Then he can walk away with a win, even though it was against a nobody. I mean, look at Shogun Hua. Shogun Hua is kind of fighting more nobodies now than he did before, and he's fine with it, right? Because he knows he can't compete in the top 10, and he just wants to keep fighting and keep... And it's not necessarily for the money or the recognition anymore. It's because he doesn't know what else to do. And when you walk away, like, there's always that mentality of, I could still do this, I could still do this, I could still do this.
BJ's going to end up in Bellator.
I thought the same thing.
He's
got a big name.
I don't want to say dumb to walk away. That's rude. That's not right to say. Stubborn, maybe.
That's funny you say that. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I mean, like he said, fish swim, birds fly, BJ fights. Like, I don't feel like he's going to walk away from it.
He's going to take one more loss before he does. I'm guessing when he signed for the UFC, he probably signed for more than one fight. That was probably part of the deal. Probably for the UFC too, right? You know, we don't want you to win and walk away. If you win, we want you to stay. I can only imagine if he actually beat Yair. I don't think anybody really saw it coming other than the people that are old school fandom, like, no, the legends will never die. Oh, speaking of legends, did you see Anderson versus Brunson?
Yep.
What'd you think about that?
I like it.
I think it's a really, I mean, if Brunson wins, it means a lot for him, but at the same time, if Anderson wins, it still means he can, like, Brunson to me is also the future of that division. I really like Derek Brunson a lot.
If you beat Anderson Silva, you get the belt. Sometimes, literally, sometimes it's just a little bit down the line. So Brunson gets it. He's the next champion.
It's true, but it wasn't was Brunson the one that went in all in versus Whitaker and got himself knocked out, or was that Brunson, or was that Larkin? It may have been Larkin. That's middleweight.
It was him. He got head kicked and punched out.
Yeah, where he went in, where they talked about him going in like Goku, right, with his hands back head first. And he looked good at first, and then he got knocked out, and he lost to Larkin too. So, I mean, it's an exciting fight. I think Anderson wins it just because Brunson's overly aggressive and Anderson still is one of the best counter-strikers there is in MMA. But it, to me, is an exciting fight, and it's something that I'd actually want to watch.
Makes that card a lot more watchable.
What do you think is next for BJ Penn?
Probably one fight at 155 or something like that.
He didn't look bad at that weight, though.
No. He actually looked small. I still can't believe that he ever fought, like, in all those different weight classes that he did.
Apparently,
crazy.
When he fought Lyoto Machida was 205, yeah, heavyweight, yeah. And he was 195.
I think he was heavyweight weight, so it was, like, 225.
And I think he was 191, mm-hmm. is what someone said on Reddit, which mm-hmm. is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I think we'll see him in another promotion.
Those guys don't like to go away, and Bellator will take them, which is, like, good and bad, right? Because they do a great job of leading him up and making him only fight one time a year. Speaking of which, that's coming up next week, 21st. The UFC has taken the week off to allow Tito Ortiz and Chael Sonnen to fight.
You going to watch it?
Absolutely. I think we should get together and watch it.
Get together. What do you say?
I think Chael Sonnen looks heavy AF at 205, right? Because, I mean, he looked like his normal weight at 185. So at 205, he's going to look heavy. When he fought Bisping, you know, when they did the submission wrestling, he looked really heavy.
Did you watch that promo that he did? That, like, 5-minute promo that he did about his dad? It was good.
I'll have to go look at
I agree with a lot of people on Reddit.
Is this his? Is this a promo or is this his podcast?
No, it's a promo done by Bellator. They actually, I think it's like a player profile, essentially. He talks about his dad's deathbed and how he grew up. They had wrestled Tito, and he had actually pinned Tito in a wrestling tournament.
I didn't know that.
They have video of it, and they show it in it. And he pins Tito, and he knew that Tito was the man, he pretty much says. And his dad knew Tito, and his dad was getting into MMA, and his dad was a huge Tito fan. And so he continued his wrestling career, and Tito dropped out of school and started doing MMA. And Chael's like, I know I could beat this guy. And he had to – that's kind of, I think – because he's talked about this before, but he talks about how he knows that there's guys there getting their shot, and he could have beat all of them. Mm-hmm. And he just knows how to cut a promo, but he actually gets kind of emotional in it and is like, on my dad's deathbed, I said that I will be the UFC or I will be the world champion, and I will beat Tito Ortiz. And he's like, it's the one promise I have and ever fulfilled my dad. And he got super emotional. The thing is it gets you excited for the fight. Like, it's a well done promotion.
That's the one thing Bellator has, mm-hmm. you know, the walkouts that they do, the promotions that they do, they know how to put on a show. I mean, making people interested in Ken Shamrock versus Hoist Gracie. Good on them.
Not a 5,000
with Kimbo Slice.
And Kimbo Slice. That one's more impressive.
I mean, and so Chael Sonnen sells himself. Tito Ortiz is still a big name. The fact that Chael Sonnen may or may not be a better wrestler than Tito Ortiz, I don't think he's a better striker than Tito Ortiz.
Watch that video, dude. Tito looks huge compared to Chael.
Yeah, Tito is huge. I mean, his head alone is half the size of Chael Sonnen's body.
Mm-hmm. Fat head.
Tito needs to retire only because I love retiring, one. And two, he seems like he's taking a lot of head damage. The fact that you listen to him talk, he's not quite there. He's a sweetheart. And good for him. You know, he is a pioneer of the sport. He was the champion for, 5 years at light heavyweight when there was only two divisions?
I gain a lot of respect for him at the Tough Three.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen that one before.
He is a great coach. He's an amazing. And so is Chael Sonnen when he coaches. I mean, these guys have.
He's in the Brazilian one, too. He was way better than Vanderlei.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing is you can people, see.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you can. And I don't know other disciplines because I've only been in, in a kickboxing gym. There just seems to be a different culture with wrestling because you can see Chael and Tito, they get really into what their team's doing.
But look at Matt Hughes. Dude was a dick. Have you seen his Tough Season yet?
It's been a while, but I'm sure he still helped him, did he not?
He was a jerk. I think was he two or was he one? It was Liddell Hughes, and they didn't fight each other because they were different weight classes.
It wasn't two or one.
It might have been BJ Penn, Matt Hughes.
Because the first one's Couture versus
this is Liddell,
and then two is
I can't remember.
Oh my gosh, I just barely watched it.
Yeah, that's why I was asking you. I figured
whatever.
Anyway,
but I mean, and that's for the most part though. I feel like, but that's the thing is Matt Hughes isn't really a teacher though. Chael, that's what Chael will be a coach someday. I feel like he's gonna have his own gym. Maybe not because he does more entertainment.
Ortiz.
Speaking of which, I've been meaning to watch Celebrity Apprentice for the first time ever.
Liddell Franklin was.
That's right.
And then it was Pierre Koscheck.
For three, it was.
That was 11 and 12.
It was Shamrock versus Ortiz in three because that's what I just got done watching.
It's a very interesting concept, right? Because it's interesting, and they always say they pick one good guy and one bad guy, and I think it just kind of plays out that way. That's when Ronda Rousey started to look bad. That's when Joanna started to look bad. That's when Matt Hughes kind of looked like a dick. And
Chael tried to make it that way, and Vanderlei just wouldn't let it happen. He's like,
and then he took him back and showed him his bank account.
He's like, Vanderlei, I love that story so much, and they show it in it. He's like, we have this made. I'm going to make you the good guy.
Yeah.
Just let me play my part. I'm going to break your face. I can't. He's like, I can't work with this.
But Vanderlei is one of those guys, too, that I think has just taken too much head damage.
Huh.
Because Vanderlei is supposed to be a sweetheart in real life. People that know him is like, Vanderlei Silva is one of the nicest dudes ever. He just gets heated like that. And so he couldn't mentally play that part because he'd get offended too quickly. Anyway, keep going.
No, you're good.
But sorry, I'm looking up tough coaches. So I like I like all of them. Speaking of tough, let's actually segue into this, right? We talked about Bellator. I feel like I had the same guys fight on Bellator almost every card. Campos is fighting again. Paul Daly's fighting again.
Did you watch the Montreal card this week? Or any? Did you see the highlights for it? The big controversy?
The guy I'm thinking Invicta. There's a huge controversy in Invicta, too.
What was the controversy in Invicta? I didn't see that one.
Oh, man. So, anyway, and people are going to get really mad at me. I did watch this. I can't remember names, but basically what happened was in the beginning of the first round, one of the girls tapped the other girl via armbar, but it was after the bell when the tap came in, and so they separated them. At the end of the fight, she ended up choking her unconscious, but it was also after the bell that they realized she was unconscious, and so she ended up, the one that was unconscious ended up winning via decision. Even though she ended the fight unconscious.
Mm.
Right?
You got to do it within the time frame.
But, I mean, how long? How do you decide how long she was unconscious for? You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing is, the refs either got it. That's not the point. You've either got to get there. You've got to get it called before.
Ortiz Shamrock. And Shamrock was a terrible coach. Anyway, what? Sorry.
Three?
Tough two. Tough.
No, I just said
three.
That.
Tough three.
I said Wait. That.
So they have season 1, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. So apparently they skipped 2 and 4 on Wikipedia.
No, well, I said the Ortiz Shamrock, and then you said it was Franklin Liddell for 2, right? And it was Couture.
Franklin Liddell was 11. They don't have 2 here. They don't have season 2.
Well, it's in Fight Pass.
Radio silence, everybody, as we look at season 2.
Speaking of season 3 and Hughes, Derek.
Hughes Franklin. So it was 2 that everyone figured out that Hughes was a
I
huge
feel like
dick.
He wasn't like a huge dick.
He just wasn't a good coach. He was mean. He was a mean. He was one of those like, you're going to do what I say. I'm your coach and I'll make you a better person. And I'm going to make you pray in a circle even though you might not be religious.
I don't remember any of that and I just watched it. But
I remember watching and thinking he was a huge prick.
He was, but I don't remember prayer circles or anything. What was I going to say? Speaking of season 3 and Derek Brunson, you know who beat Derek Brunson?
Was he in season 3?
No, Derek Brunson wasn't, but Kendall Grove was.
Oh, yeah. Kendall Grove.
He actually beat him in show fight.
And he wins that season.
His record's weird, man. He's one of those ones that I feel like could have been better.
Season 3 was Randy Couture, George St. Pierre. Or 4, sorry. The comeback.
So the one that I was going to talk to you about, I believe it was TKO Rivals is what it was called. Did you not see any of this with the ref that put the guy in the rear naked?
Because, no.
So it was the weigh-ins, they essentially got in each other's face. It looked like one of the kiss things that they did where they get like right up and then one of them gets way too close and they kiss. And they come out and I'm trying to think of what the guy's name was now because I had it pulled up. But
were these the guys that were yelling at the weigh-ins? I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
Bring it. I'm going to beat you. Bring it. I didn't see how that ended. Everyone just hated that guy for being such a douchebag.
Well, so the Canadian guy, I'm going to slaughter his name if I try to say it. It's Gavrilovic versus Joe Valley or Valley. I'm not sure how you pronounce that either. Sorry. So Gavrilovic knocks him out and gets on top and just starts raining punches.
Jeez.
And the ref comes and stops it and he keeps going. And the ref starts grabbing him by the waist, and he keeps going. He's pulling him off, swinging, and the ref pretty much puts him in a rear naked. And so he won the fight and then lost because of it.
Yeah, DQ.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, you're never going to make it to the UFC if you can't control yourself. I mean, look at freaking Paul Harris, who freaking would continually hold on to leg locks and hurt people, and he got booted from every promotion until the WSOF even was like, we don't want nothing to do with you. He had to go fight in Italy, and then he got knocked out by freaking Emil Meek. And it put Emil Meek on the map because everyone hated freaking Paul Harris so bad that the guy that finally beat him got big props. And the thing is he still complained because freaking Emil Meek was dropping side elbows down to his head, and he was trying to say that they were illegal and he should have never actually lost the fight. I mean, it's just... That whole thing, man, there's no one will ever like you. And now with the internet, if you do something like that, it's going to be everywhere. I mean, I haven't seen it, but you did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll show it to me and the MMA community will ostracize you. You'll never make it anywhere. And if you do, it'll be like Cody East, where everyone's like, this guy shouldn't be in the UFC because he beat his girlfriend.
Or Platinum.
Or Platinum Perry, who has like a small cult ironic following because people think it's ironically funny to be a fan of his. But no one really likes him. But it was his buddy that's the one that was a racist. Ended up
but he's also kind of been like an ass, though, from time to time. Oh, yeah,
very much so.
But,
So the last 10 minutes, I guess we got 15, so we're in no hurry. Speaking of people that have said and done stupid things, Juliana Pena, right? The number two contender in the 135 division fighting Shevchenko in about 2 weeks in Denver. She just recently came out and basically said, the MMA community should more or less thank me for taking this fight because all they were doing is telling me that I should take this fight, and if I would have waited, I'd already be in line for a title shot. And it's like, yes and no. I mean, you got in a fight with a dude at a theater.
Well, let's just, I mean, if that's what she wants, let's just say it. Thank you for taking the fight. There you go. You got what you wanted. What else? What the hell does that even mean?
Well, she also said she'd sit on the sideline until she got a fight.
We're not, like, clamoring to see you fight.
Nobody cares. If she wouldn't have beat up a dude at a movie theater, well, I guess it wasn't a movie theater. That's Ronda Rousey. If she wouldn't have beat up a dude at a bar, no one would have any idea who she was. And she's the number two contender behind Shevchenko, who's already lost to Nunes.
You should thank Amanda Nunes for getting out the two killers in that division so that you could you could actually be in the two spots.
So you didn't have to fight freaking Holly Holm or Miesha Tate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think she would have fought him anyways. I was thinking more. Well, she might have. I was thinking more just to get her actually at the number two spot. Because if either of them are in, they're still,
I mean,
two and four, probably, respectively.
You look at her record. She beat Milana Dudieva, whoever that is. She beat Jessica Ai, and she beat Kat Zingano. That's it. She hasn't done much to get to that number two spot. I mean, Kat Zingano, I love to death, and she's been through a lot, but she's kind of overrated in that division. She beat Amanda Nunes, but she lost for 2.5 rounds and then ended up pulling it out at the end, which is great. I mean, that's how you win fights. You look at, you know, Anderson Silva with Chael Sonnen. You look at Miesha Tate with Holly Holm. But at the same time, you can't be like, I deserve this when you got beat by 2 rounds, you know, when you beat somebody who would more or less lost to the champion. And I understand where she's coming from. No one wants to lose a random fight before they get their title shot. Everyone would rather sit around for their title fight. And she would have, you know, she would have got it. Because only because Shevchenko has actually lost to Nunes. And that really is what gave her that shot. Because Shevchenko's already lost to Nunes. And there hasn't been a ton of time in between those two fights. Enough time for Shevchenko to have changed enough to really realize. Or really realize how to change your fight style to win. But in most rematches, the person that loses learns more and comes back better than the person that wins.
Well, because it's easy because you know what you're training for. The other person, they don't know how you're making adjustments to them unless they're really smart, like a Cruz.
Yep, like a Dominic Cruz.
And they see like every step that you're making. But excuse me. Yeah, so the exact quote was, I hope fans are grateful that I'm fighting Shevchenko. Fans have been chirping nonstop about this fight. I'd be fighting for the title now if I'd just waited. Okay, if name the next title fight that you want to see in that division.
Nunes Shevchenko. And I mean, Nunes already
and
beat
we,
Shevchenko.
And we, Juliana, speak for the whole MMA community.
Yeah.
We took a Twitter poll. Don't look at it. Don't look it up.
We didn't on this one. Why? Because Juliana Pena doesn't matter enough for a Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm. That's rude.
Did you see the Twitter poll that we did, though?
No, I didn't.
It was about what bird chirps louder. No, just chirps. What MMA fan chirps louder. It was actually, what do you hate more, interim belts or fighters that are champions that call their own fights? And champions that call their own fights actually won over interim belts. Of people that, I mean, and I think that the concept of this is right. 2 weeks ago, we talked about like, not even 2 weeks ago, last week, we talked about how annoying it was if fighters call their own fights because that ties up two divisions, right? Because usually they call it the champ or the number two ranked fighter in the division. So they're tying up, you know, interim belts move things along where calling out your own fights wraps up two divisions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people got, you know, obviously the voting shows that people really, really dislike that. Speaking of which, maybe we should start doing one or two polls a week and then discussing them on this podcast.
I'll discuss the hell out of them.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
But the rest of this card's not bad, man. Cerrone, Masvidal, which I don't quite understand.
They were just both asking for it. They both wanted to fight.
I don't think Masvidal has much of a chance in this. He's a street fighter. And Cerrone just takes him down and submits him. Like, I like Masvidal a lot. But I don't think he has any of the tools to take on Cerrone. Unless he has a liver kick.
They're just, I mean, honestly, like, they're just doing us a favor. Like, Cerrone wanted to fight in Colorado. Yeah. And Masvidal was game. And he kept calling him out. And Cerrone's like, yeah. And then Masvidal's like, you're ducking me. He's like, bro, I just said yes. Yeah. Let's do it.
On Twitter. Avasi Ngannou, I think that's a stiff step up for Ngannou, but I think he wins that.
Who? Ngannou versus who?
Arlovski. Caceres versus Knight. I don't know who Knight is. Marquardt versus Alvey. I think Alvey should win that fight. Asuncao, Sterling. Asuncao has barely lost to TJ Dillashaw, so I think, you know, Sterling's in for a tough fight there. I mean, this is a solid fight. De Chirico's the Argentinian dude. He's looked really good in his last two fights. Spicely just won against a Brazilian dude that was Thiago somebody or other that was supposed to just annihilate him, and he ended up winning, keeping his spot in the freaking UFC. Like, this for what it is, this is what you call a sleeper card, right? I mean, it's on Fox, so obviously it's a big card. Arlovski and Cerrone are going to carry it on Fox, I think. And I think that's why they did it, because they're two big names. Caceres potentially as well. But definitely Arlovski going back to the Pride days, and Cerrone for the casual fan. So I don't understand why this is on Fox. This is definitely an FS1 card. But the last one that was on Fox also looked like a sleeper card, and it did really, really well. And so, you know, maybe they have a certain amount of cards they have to do on Fox per year, so they're trying to get ahead of it rather than, like, jam a whole bunch in at the end of the year. But usually there's at least a title fight on Fox. And I remember Dana...
Wait, is it not? This isn't...
Chevtango Pena is the number one contender fight.
That's right.
Well, and Dana White used to go back to, like, the one thing boxing never did right is they never put title fights on TV. They never gave away really good fights to get people hooked, to get them into, you know, the pay-per-views. And I believe, you know, Cain Velasquez fought for a title, I think, on Fox originally.
And it was Inverse for Doom.
Was that on Fox?
And that's the one
that in Mexico
lost.
City? That's I didn't know that was on Fox.
That's the one that the first Fox ever should have been JDS versus Cain Velasquez.
Yeah. And that's one where he got knocked out. Because originally Dana White was like, you have to put title fights on Fox to get the casual fans into MMA. And the last several Fox fights have not had title fights. And he was lucky because the last card did really, really well. And I think this one does really, really well because Arlovski Ngannou is going to end in a TKO. Cerrone Masvidal is going to be a great fight. And Caceres is always puts on a show, even win or lose.
That card is pretty good.
Yeah. Not pay-per-view quality. FS1 quality. They just moved it to Fox.
This the original one?
Wait, what do you mean? What was the original one?
The original Fox card? The one that I was talking about with Kane? And
oh, yeah. That was definitely pay-per-view quality.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Benson Henderson versus Clay Guida, Dustin Poirier, Pablo Garza, Ricardo Lamas versus Cub Swanson. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. But that was his whole point. Like, you have to put a title fight
on
TV.
I remember everybody bitching about that one because it was... They were complaining, like, should we have put the Henderson Shogun fight on Fox? And Dana was like... If you understand how we're building this sport, that bloodbath is not how you get fans. Like, this was the perfect card to start off the Fox partnership.
They're going in and painting over the blood in between rounds. Obviously, people don't want to see that on Fox. I mean, the original UFC that people see this as, the original UFC had to be in, like, Atlantic City because it wasn't allowed anywhere else. And it was on, like, some pay-per-views allowed in only certain states, and then they had to record them and then, like, sell them on their website. People still see the UFC as that. A lot of people don't see this as Meryl Streep, right?
Oh, man, that's what I wanted to talk about. That's my favorite thing in the world that happened, man.
Well, we got 6 minutes. Let's talk about it.
Oh, it was so good.
And then Dana White coming out and being like, you know, I respect Meryl Streep, but obviously she doesn't understand MMA. And I think what she was doing is she was being facetious and taking anything with arts. I don't know why she said football and mixed martial arts. I think she was just saying, like, the only arts we'll have left are football and mixed martial arts. Like,
no, I was thinking
she should have just dropped football and said mixed martial arts and been facetious.
No, I think is what she was saying is the only form of entertainment that you will have are these barbaric sports. And she should happen to say mixed martial arts
along with art.
But right. Then she was like, oh, wait, that says art in it. But that is not an art. And it was like me talking about the moon landing or like 9/11. Like, I've heard some things, and I have some formulated opinions on them, but they're in no way educated, really. And that's the same thing it was with her. It just sounded like somebody who just didn't know what they were talking. I mean, people that are taking offense to it, it's just silly. Just take it for what it is. Like, it's an 80-year-old woman who has probably never been to... I mean, in the UFC community, for the most part, handled it perfectly. Like, Scott Coker's like, I'm sorry you feel that way, Meryl. Let's get you out to a card. I'd be more than happy if you were my guest. Like, you'd probably do her a real favor and actually invite her to a UFC card, but bless him for trying.
yeah, she shouldn't. We don't need her Hoist Gracie.
We don't need to see her at a Chael Sonnen Tito Ortiz post fight interview. Like,
sliced out of 5,000.
None of that. We don't need to see any of that.
Well, I mean, there's the elitist left, right? I mean, and there's an elitist right as well. But of course,
did you listen to the whole thing?
No.
So the whole thing goes like this. With the new guy that's coming in, essentially, is what she's saying. This is paraphrasing.
Yeah.
He's going to kick out all the immigrants. And there's a lot of immigrants in this room. If you kick out all the immigrants, and she names off a whole bunch of people, like where they came from, like Natalie Portman and everything. And she's like, if you kick out all the immigrants, then you're not going to have any arts. You're not going to have the movies. All you're going to have is football and mixed martial arts, which are not martial arts, which is hilarious, too, on top of it, because there are so many foreigners in the UFC, in mixed martial arts in general.
At least she didn't say baseball, where they're all Cuban and South American from somewhere else. You know what I mean?
It was just so off base. It was great. Like, if you can't have a laugh about that as a MMA fan, you probably should just stay out of pop culture, period, and just watch the fights on silent, because you're going to get angry about every little thing, because it's an old lady talking about stuff that she doesn't know about.
Well,
if your grandparents haven't gotten you used to that at this point, then...
The first thing that I saw on that was, like, Meryl Streep takes out Donald Trump without mentioning his name. And then all of a sudden I logged onto the Addicted to the UFC page on Facebook in order to post our podcast, and it was like, apparently Meryl Streep hates us. And I was like, what in the world? And it had like this small quote, like, we'll be left only with football and mixed martial arts, which is not an art.
I think the problem with it is one, I think she knows that Dana spoke at the Republican convention.
Yeah.
I don't think she knows he did. I think she knows somebody in the MMA community that's rich did. And so do you know why the problem that she had with Trump? She said that he made fun of a handicapped reporter. Somebody that has like a limp arm.
They pointed that out quite a bit. Yeah,
but I mean, he's done that for everybody. I just don't really think just the weirdest.
Here's the issue that she's got, right? I mean, did you see so my brother Ryan actually posted on Facebook which people have purchased parts of the UFC and what the amount was. Conan O'Brien, who graduated,
Summa cum laude.
Oh,
did he? I was like,
no, something really high, like valedictorian, something really high at like Harvard or something like that. He's got like $13 million invested in it. Tom Brady's got, like, they've got all of these like A-list celebrities that have 13 to 20 something million dollars invested in the UFC. And it's just interesting that she's like, oh, mixed martial arts. And then there's Mark Wahlberg. I mean, not necessarily the highest class of A-list celebrity, but nonetheless, like, she takes out MMA and mixed martial arts when most of the movie communities, actors, football players, athletes, have gone out and invested in the UFC because they see it is the future. And they see it as a viable freaking investment to make money in the long run. And it's just funny to me that somebody that doesn't quite understand the new movement. It's like me trying to explain influencer marketing to my grandmother, and she just doesn't get it. And I don't blame her for it.
More like your grandma getting a microphone and telling everybody how marketing doesn't work. That's more what it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, influencer marketing doesn't make sense. Minecraft.
This is all I will say. Thank you for adaptation, Meryl.
Yeah, she did do well. Hey, I like a lot of Meryl Streep's freaking contracts. All right, here we go. UFC celebrity shares. Ben Affleck, $5 million. Michael Bay, $8 million. Tom Brady, $10 million. Rob Dyrdek, $11 million. Guy Fieri, $13 million. Flea, $15 million. I don't know who that guy is. Calvin Flea? Harris.
The bassist?
No,
for...
Abel Tesfaye. Oh. Robert Kraft, $20 million. Adam Levine, $22 million. LL Cool J, $25 million. Cam Newton, $25 million. Conan O'Brien, $25 million. Trey Parker, $30 million. Tyler Perry, who makes the greatest movies in Hollywood history.
Right.
Boo, A Madea Halloween.
Boo.
$35 million.
This list is like the higher it gets. Like I'm like
Mike
where
Wahlberg, is... Mark Wahlberg, $45 million. Venus Williams, $50 million. Serena, $75 million.
Did you hear who Serena's marrying?
What is his
My
name?
My favorite.
The founder of Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's who it was.
I loved their. I can't remember what those the little alien guys are called, but
I don't know.
It was the most like polarizing comments on Reddit that I've ever seen. Like,
really? I figured yeah. people would be happy for him. But Reddit's full of trolls,
but
so they
it's
have
like,
to hate.
They're like, it was like snobby, like computer guys that aren't excited, like, or that aren't happy that he's having like a sports, like an attractive sports star. And then like vice versa, like the jocks, like, why are you with this nerd? It was the weirdest thing. But then at the same time, people are like, they're great together. But they just looked happy. It was.
They really did.
It
the
was
picture?
So
yeah.
funny, man.
They looked really happy.
It's so funny.
You
like,
know, you know what I wonder? Sorry, based off of that, where did Sylvester Stallone get the $40 million to invest in the UFC?
The thing is like on most of those, like, I'm like, LL Cool J still got that kind of money to throw
well,
around.
Well, he's in NCIS LA or something like that.
That pay that much? Give me one of those shows. What the hell?
Well, he's in there with Robin, but I mean, Conor McGregor. Why can Conor McGregor not throw $5 million at the UFC?
I don't think they can. I don't think he can be part owner.
He was annoyed that they didn't allow him. I mean, it might be a conflict of interest, but I doubt it. I'm pretty
can
sure.
Can you imagine if he fights somebody and he's the owner?
I'm pretty sure he would give them $5 million and step away. I would. I invest $5 million now, and I'm a part owner of the UFC, and all I have to do is never fight again?
I feel like that'll come.
He made it seem like the UFC wasn't even giving him the option.
I have no
And
idea.
I don't know.
I have
but
no
that's,
idea.
I mean, that's really kind of what he made it seem like, is they weren't even giving him the option to actually buy anything. Nonetheless, puts us at our hour mark. You got anything else you want to say about Meryl Streep or any of the underlying...
Streep. Stroop.
I'm not going to pronounce it right. She insulted me and my people.
The people
my
that you
MMA,
always talk
my,
about you hate.
My people. I hate everybody equally. MMA fans, MMA media, you. I just hate everyone equally.
No, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Conor Mayweather thing, but in honest, I'm so sick of talking about Conor. Like, it's fine not to.
It's going
to
happen.
No, it's not.
We'll talk about it later because I have to urinate like a racehorse.
Hold on, wait really quick. I got to show you these two videos that total 7 minutes.
Thank you guys for listening. Please remember to subscribe at OneSpeed MMA on Twitter as well as Google Podcasts, good old Buzzsprout, iTunes, and all of the rest of them. We appreciate you guys listening.
Listen.
We love you guys to death. Listen.
Listen.
Thanks, guys. Bye.